Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. We are a Jesus-centered community in El Mirage, Arizona. We hope through these conversations your spirit will be stirred. For more information, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
Well, we are on week number two of our series called Forgotten God. The title comes from Francis Chan's book called Forgotten God, Reversing the Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit. We will be meeting again this Wednesday. We met last Wednesday. I'll be here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. If you get the book, I think you should all read the book quite just personally. We'll go through chapters 4, 5, and 6. If you can be here, if you didn't read the first three chapters, don't worry about it. We had 37 people about last Wednesday, some good conversation, so I'll be here again. And we'll continue that discussion. But Chan says this, he says, from my perspective, the Holy Spirit is neglected for all practical purposes, forgotten in the church and life of the believer. While no Christian would deny his existence, I'm willing to bet there are millions of churchgoers across America who cannot confidently say they experience his presence or action in their lives in the past year. I think Acts 19 accurately kind of reflects how our Western Christianity appears. Acts 19 says this, that Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, these were disciples of John. John's message was about Jesus. So they accepted John's message that Jesus was the Messiah, meaning they believed in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, and yet they believed, and yet they were missing something. And Paul says, did you receive? And they said, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And I think some of us here today, that's kind of our story. Maybe you've never been taught about the Holy Spirit, and so we're discussing those things here now. But some of us, we know about the Holy Spirit intellectually. We're just not quite sure what to do with them. Like we read about him, we understand, but what does he do? Scripture teaches that there is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But we do not worship three separate gods. We worship one God, making up three distinct beings or three distinct persons. It's three in one. It's known as the Trinity. In theology, it would be known as the perichoresis. It is the mutual indwelling of the three Godhead. It is a mutual interpenetration. What it means is that the divine persons of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit mutually permeates the others, thus one God, without ceasing to be distinct. And so we grab this idea of God the Father. Maybe you are a father, you have a father. We get the idea of what a good father should look like. We can rally around the idea of God the Son. We read about Jesus and the Gospels, and we understand what a son is, and maybe you are a son or you have a son. We understand that the Son reflects the image of the Father. But then there's this other guy, the Holy Spirit, and we're just not sure where he fits in or how he fits in or what we are to do with him. And yet Jesus makes this mind-blowing statement. When his time was short, it's part of the upper room discourse, his time was short, his arrest, crucifixion is imminent, and he's telling the disciples what is about to happen. And he says this in John 16. He says, now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asked me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. That idea of grief is that they had so much sorrow, emotional sorrow, that they felt it physically. Have you ever had so much weighing on you that you actually felt it? It was like it was tangible in your physical body. And so they're experiencing this grief, and I get it. I mean, who would want to be without Jesus? Think about having Jesus physically present with you 24 hours a day. Think of the money you would save on health insurance, right? How good would it feel to go into Blue Cross Blue Shield and tell them what they can do with their overpriced health insurance, right? I mean, it'd be pretty good. But Jesus says, as good as it is to have me with you, he says something better is coming, right? He says this, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good That's a mind-blowing statement right there. Other translation says, it is to your advantage that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor, and some of your translations say advocate, some say helper, some say comforter, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. A little bit earlier in John 14, Jesus is talking about the same topic. He says it this way, that I will ask the Father and he will send you, give you another helper or advocate or comforter or counselor. Your Bibles will all have those different words. To be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. I want us to grab something right off the bat. Jesus says, as good as it is having me with you, it's better to have the Holy Spirit in you, not around you, not near you, not hovering above you, but the Holy Spirit in you. Think about this. If you are a follower of Christ right now, God says, money back guarantee, the Holy Spirit of God is in you. That's a remarkable thought if we can fully begin to grasp what that means for our lives and for our faith. Now, translators have a difficult time putting into words what Jesus was actually saying when he was talking about the helper or advocate or comforter or counselor. The word is parakletos, and we say paraclete in our English language, and it literally means called to one's side or called to one's aid. Now, if we had to say, well, what is the actual best translation? Is it counselor? Is it advocate? Is it comforter? Is it helper? And we would say, yes. It's all of that. Meaning, is the paraclete, is he your counselor? Yes. Is he your advocate fighting for you? Yes. Is he your comforter when life is hard? Yes. Is he your helper? Yes. Listen, listen, listen. Whatever it is that you need today, at this moment, the Holy Spirit is that to you. That is a life-changing concept right there. Whatever it is you need, and your needs are different than the person next to you, whatever it is that you need, the Parakletos is that for you. I find great comfort in that. I find great comfort that whatever it is I need, that the Holy Spirit steps in and says, I got it. Right? And so this is why it's so much turmoil, struggle, because we really can't put just one word on this. Counselor, advocate, comforter, helper, guide, yes, all of that. So let's unpack a little bit more this idea of the Holy Spirit. Let's see what God has for us. Lord, I'm excited about today. This topic of the Holy Spirit is life-changing. It's faith-changing. It brings faith to life. It breaks the shackles of boring Christianity. It releases us to experience faith as you meant it to be. And so we ask, Holy Spirit, come and fill us and give us what we need. Each person right now, whatever it is that they need, I pray that you would that you would come and you would be to them what it is they need right now. We invite you. We invite you, fill us, we pray. Lord, even in our giving, we want to do so in an attitude of worship. We want to give joyfully. It's a way that we put you first to show that wealth does not hold us, but we place you first in this by giving to you first. And so we want to do so in an attitude of worship. And we invite your presence continue to be upon us. In great power, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's unpack 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, the advocate, the helper, comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I want you to notice, this is personal. This is the Holy Spirit coming to you. Not to your pastor, not to your mama, not to your neighbor. He's not sending it to the church at large. He's not sending him to your neighborhood. The Holy Spirit was coming for you to set up residence in you, to take up home in you, right? This is for you today. So keep your ears open. Let's see what the Holy Spirit will speak to us. We're jumping down to verse 12. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and you thought the conversation was over and you walked away and they were like, I'm not through talking yet. Come on, if you're married, fellas, you know you had at least one of those in your lifetime, right? I thought the conversation was over, right? Apparently not. Well, this is what Jesus is saying. He's like, look, I still have stuff to say. You have things you need to hear, but you can't bear them right now. It's too heavy. You're not ready. Hey, thank God for progressive revelation. Could you imagine if God dumped everything on you the first day that you became a follower of Christ? What would that be like? We would like explode. We're like, I'm going to step out of this one, right? He reveals slowly over time, progressively. And so Jesus says, look, I have more things to say, but you can't handle them right now. And then verse 13, there is an implied, however, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will, what will he do? Come on, everyone, what will he do? He will guide you into all truth. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Like any good counselor, he guides you towards truth. He's not going to force you. He's not going to make you. He's not going to trick you. He's not going to hogtie and drag you, but he will invite you to follow. He will guide you if you are willing to listen. And this brings up a good question. Are you guidable? Matter of fact, ask the person closest to you. They'll probably give you a better answer. Are you guidable? Have you ever met someone who is not guidable? And they're like, once I make up my mind, it's closed. I don't want to hear anything else. I don't want to hear other facts. Don't try to change my mind. I've made it up. My mind is closed. Scripture says that it is the foolish one who thinks his way is always right. And so you have to ask yourself today, am I guidable? What does that look like? Are you guidable? Can you listen to the Holy Spirit? Look at verse 12 and 13. We'll hit that whole block. I still have, next slide please. Said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority. Other translation says, for he will not speak on his own, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Think of the Holy Spirit, in a sense, rough way, as your inside man concerning all things spiritual. And what he hears, he repeats. What the Father is saying, what the Father is doing, he passes that on. He keeps communication open in sorts. Listen. The Holy Spirit has something to say that is relevant to your life today, if you're willing to listen. If you were to ask me, does the Holy Spirit speak today? I would say, of course he speaks today. Does the Holy Spirit speak today? Of course he speaks today. Does the Holy Spirit speak today? Half of you say, yeah, I think he speaks today. Ed, does the Holy Spirit speak today? The Holy Spirit speaks today. And he has something to say to you that is relevant to your life if you are willing to listen. Of course the Holy Spirit still speaks today. Listen, you'll start winning when you start listening. The difference between a defeated person and a victorious person is one has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. If you want to close yourself off and just live this faith that is human-centered and ran by human effort, hey, you may have little success, some here and there, but you're not going to experience faith as it was meant to be. The Holy Spirit has something to say that is relevant to your life. Our lives are a reflection of the voice that we listen to. And there are two voices that are competing for our future. That is why you don't let your children hang around certain children, because you know their influence or their voice is going to have a bad effect on them, right? Our kids, one of them was debating us because we wouldn't let them hang out with a certain child. I think they were 11. And they tried to go spiritual on us, and they dropped the, you're just judging them, and you don't really know them. And I said, oh, baby, we know them. your mother was them. I didn't say that part, but, you know, I thought about it. I thought about it for a second, but I backed off on that one. But, you know, it's because we know that there are two voices that are competing for the trajectory of our lives. And so our lives today are the sum total of whose voice we have been listening to, right? And so ask yourself this question, whose voice are you listening to? Which some of you are thinking, well, I don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen, we've just had more practice listening to the voice of our flesh, right? But if you can hear the voice of your flesh leading you to sin when no one else is in the room, you can learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Did you hear? If you can hear your flesh calling you to do what you shouldn't when you're alone and no one is around, you can learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's going to take practice. It's going to take some study. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some error. You're going to mess things up. But you can learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. So whose voice are you listening to? On this thing of guidance and whose voice we listen to, are you convinced that the Holy Spirit knows best? Are you convinced that the Holy Spirit's guidance is better than your guidance? Because if you don't, you will override the Holy Spirit's voice with your own voice. The Holy Spirit will guide you, and you're going to be like, I'd like to get a second opinion on that one. So I'm going to ask Betty, who's going to ask Eddie, who just spoke to Freddie, and I'm going to come up with the best idea for this path moving forward. See, the Holy Spirit's knocking, saying, I'm trying to guide you, but you think you're smarter than me. Right? We've all done it. Right? Well, you're going to, before I listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I need to hear from Amy. Amy hears less of the Holy Spirit than you do. But that's how we do it, right? Because if we're honest with ourselves, we really think that we know more than the Holy Spirit. 1 Kings 18, Elijah, when he prays for rain, it says that he put his head between his knees. And I'm assuming when I see that, it's to block out all outside influences. Sometimes we don't hear the Holy Spirit because we have too many people jawing in our ear, too many people giving you their opinion. Too many people telling you what you should do. Too many people telling you this, telling you that. Too much outside influence going on constantly. And sometimes what we just need to do is just block out the outside influences. Hey, one of the enemies of hearing the Holy Spirit is busyness. And we can become so busy that we don't even take time to listen for the promptings and the leading of the Holy Spirit. But if you're willing to listen, he's willing to speak. John 16, 14, he will glorify me, Jesus says. The Holy Spirit will always glorify Jesus, for he will take what is mine and he will declare it to you. He will uncover what you have not seen, what you have not realized, what you did not comprehend. He will uncover, he will unveil, he will reveal it to you. Look at 1 Corinthians 2. Paul says it like this. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Now, Apostle Paul is quoting from the prophet Isaiah, I think in chapter 64. And he's saying, look, that the Old Testament saints could never comprehend what God has in store for those who love him, right? They weren't around when the coming Messiah came, and they certainly weren't around when the Holy Spirit was released. But now Paul says, but look, all of that changed. Verse 10. He says, these things, what others could not understand, these things God has revealed to us. How? Through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit searches everything. If you think Google is a good search engine, the Holy Spirit is the first. For the Spirit searches everything. And here's what Google can't search, even the depths of God. It says the Holy Spirit searches even the deep things of God. He will guide you in all truth. He will uncover, unveil that which is yours, but you just have not seen it. You have not comprehended it. You have not understood it. He reveals what is already there, already established. He searches the deep things of God, and he reveals to us. See, this is faith that becomes vibrant. This is faith that moves beyond just just an intellectual knowledge of reading the Word, but the Holy Spirit begins to not just speak to us through the Word, but begins to speak to us Himself. Now, nothing that contradicts the Word, right? But the Holy Spirit has something relevant to say to you and to I. Look what he goes on to say. Verse 11. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So he says, look, the Spirit of God coming out of God knows the thoughts of God, just like the Spirit of man coming out of man knows the thoughts of man. This means, in a sense, we're getting divine wisdom, divine intelligence, divine leading from the source, the Holy Spirit, who searches even the deep things of God. Look at verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, Holy Spirit, who is from God, listen, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And this is what we all need. We need to understand what God has given to us and the position he has placed us in as followers of Christ. I want to know what God has freely given to me. I want to know what is waiting for me to lay hold of. I want to know who I'm supposed to be, what my life is supposed to look like. I don't want to live off of your agenda for my life. I would rather be out of favor with you, but be in favor with God. Part of our vision is to find God, find others, and find yourself, right? Find God is what Bob did 5 weeks ago, gave his life to Jesus. Find others is living in community. Find yourself is discovering the person that God has created you to be. Not living off of someone else's agenda, someone else's plan for your life, but that you begin to function in the way that God has created you. That you would begin to understand the things that God has freely given you in Christ Jesus. And that is imparted to us through the Holy Spirit of God, who will lead us and will guide us in all truth if we are willing to listen. Now, let's talk quickly about the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because there's some confusion in the church as to when we receive the Holy Spirit. Here's my understanding of this, is that when you give your life to Christ, when you submit yourself to Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. Your salvation has been sealed by the Holy Spirit. But now listen, having the Holy Spirit and being permeated with the Holy Spirit are different things. And ongoing events. So we could say it like this. There is one baptism or one indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but there are many fillings of the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, over and over again, believers in the book of Acts were filled with the Holy Spirit in chapter 2, and then the very same people were filled with the Holy Spirit again in Acts 4:31, where it's a continual be filled with the Holy Spirit, filling with the Holy Spirit. So the question isn't, do you have all of the Holy Spirit? The question is, does the Holy Spirit have all of you? Has he permeated your being? Are you being filled continually, time and time again? Think of it this way. We spare no expense. Hey, are there any milk drinkers in here? I absolutely love milk. Hey, if you're an anti-milker, just keep it to yourself, okay? Here's what I want you to think of. Let's say this milk is a person, all right? And the chocolate sauce is the Holy Spirit. And so what happens is when we come to Christ, the Holy Spirit is in us. But the Holy Spirit in us and the Holy Spirit permeating us and filling us and having control of us are different things. It's not until the Holy Spirit begins to be stirred and the Holy Spirit begins to be filled over and over and over again that the Holy Spirit begins to permeate us, begins to indwell in us, and begins to take over every part of our being. Having the Holy Spirit in salvation and being permeated with the Holy Spirit are different acts. Matter of fact, you are permeated or you are filled with the Holy Spirit repeatedly. And if you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit repeatedly, my guess is that your faith is starting to become a little bit stale. Look at Ephesians 5. Paul says it like this, where he says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, a couple thoughts on this. First, understand that this is a command, right? This is a command that all who are in Christ Jesus should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, if it's a command, it means it's possible. God doesn't give us a command and then sit back and say, they'll never be able to do this one. Right? That's not who God is. To understand, it's a command. Second, I want you to understand that it's passive. You're not filling yourself. God is the one doing the filling. All we are is open vessels, right? It's this passive idea that God is the one who is doing the filling. Second, understand that it's plural. This command is meant for everyone. Everyone here who is a follower of Christ, Paul says, you need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Why continually? Well, that's our last point, because this is in the present tense. The best translation would not be filled with the Spirit. It would be being filled with the Spirit, meaning continually, over and over and over and over again. Continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what the Scripture tells us over and over again. Now, look at the entire passage, because it gets a little odd to me. He says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. When I was younger, I would read this and I always thought, where did this alcohol thing come from? It's like you're talking about the Holy Spirit and then all of a sudden say, hey, don't get drunk with wine. It's like, did that just come out of nowhere? And I start to think about this a little bit. When a person is drunk, and some of you now are thinking up your drunk stories. When a person is drunk, they give up control to a substance. They give control to a substance and become something they were not prior to consumption, right? Now, there are happy drunks, there are angry drunks, there are Superman drunks who think they can do anything, right? The point is that when you give control over to a substance, you become something you were not before you consumed it. You say things you normally wouldn't say. You do things you normally wouldn't do. You become a person that you normally are not. Here is what I think Scripture is saying. Scripture says, hey, do not give up control to a substance. Instead, give up control to the Spirit. Because what happens when you give up control and the Spirit permeates you? The more you're infused with the Spirit, the more you become someone you were not before you were consumed. You begin to say things you normally wouldn't say under the power of the Holy Spirit. You begin to do things you normally wouldn't do under the power of the Holy Spirit. You're able to endure trials that normally you could not endure with the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul says, look, do not give yourself over to a substance. Do not be controlled to a substance, but give yourselves over to the Holy Spirit. Allow him to fill, to permeate, to infuse, and to empower you. But here's our problem. In Ephesians 4, Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus, and he tells them to not fall back into their old ways of living. He says, look, you are now children of the light. You're not children of the darkness. You used to give yourself to all kinds of immorality and greed and all kinds of sinful activities. He says, but that's not who you are anymore. You are now children of the light. And after he encourages them to put on the new self and to put off the old, he says this little phrase in Ephesians 4:30. He says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The idea is to not cause deep emotional pain, severe sorrow to the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will be with you forever. That means when we go places we shouldn't go, the Holy Spirit isn't sitting out in the car waiting for you. He's going with you. When you look at things you shouldn't look at, the Holy Spirit is there with you. When you hang on to anger and bitterness and hatred, the Holy Spirit is there with you. And Paul says, look, there are times because of our activities that we grieve the Holy Spirit. We lessen the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives because we're pushing the Holy Spirit down. And he says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Hey, if today there's something in your life and the Holy Spirit right now kind of has his finger on you and saying there's this area in your life, embrace repentance. Embrace forgiveness and turn and go the other way, and then just begin to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and then align yourself with the Holy Spirit's function in your life. But we cannot ask the Holy Spirit to fill us while we're grieving the Holy Spirit at the same time. Does that make sense? We cannot grieve the Holy Spirit and then wonder why there's no power of the Holy Spirit in us. He will guide us if we're willing to listen. Listen to how Jesus wraps up this talk, Luke 11. He says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" I met with somebody after service. He came up, jumped up on the stage, young guy, he's probably 30, jumped up on the stage, big guy, gave me a big hug, and he said, "This is it." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "I've been reading the book." He said, "And my life has changed more in a week and a half than I don't know when." He's like, "There is something occurring on the inside of me." He's like, "I'm talking to guys at work that I would have never talked to about issues of faith. There is something in me that faith has become exciting and alive again and vibrant, and that's the Holy Spirit." And he just kept smiling. He was like, "This is fantastic. This is what's been missing in my life." This is what's missing in most of our Western Christianity. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not some strange concept that we should avoid. Look at this. Anti-supernatural, expect nothing from God religion has gotten us nowhere. So why don't we start to expect the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to empower us to do what we have not been able to do without his supernatural empowering. Amen? Stand with me. For the six of you that clapped, you can split this Hershey syrup straight in the mouth. I hope you're sensing something. I hope the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. I hope something is stirring in you and you will explore this space more. I'm telling you, your testimony will be, "My faith has never been as vibrant as it has been with the Holy Spirit working in me." I guarantee you, money back guarantee. All right, so Father, we rest upon your word that says if we ask for the Holy Spirit that you will send him. And so we're asking for the Holy Spirit. First, we take a moment and we ask that you would examine our lives, our hearts and our actions, and if there is any way in us that is not pleasing to you, anything that has caused us to grieve the Holy Spirit's function in our life, then we want to repent of that now rather than face you later. And so we turn from that. That thing that grabs us, that thing that grips us. We want to live lives that are pleasing. And we don't want to grieve and cause the Holy Spirit sorrow. And as we repent, I pray, Holy Spirit, to fill us. I pray that you would empower us to live out our faith in the way that we have not yet been able to do. Look, I'm just asking that you would be open. Ask the Spirit to fill you. Be in prayer. You don't have to look at me. Ask the Spirit to fill you. You don't have to feel anything. You might feel something. You don't have to feel something. But ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. And if God says that if you ask, he will send you the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to begin to guide you and begin to lead you and begin to empower you. And don't be surprised if this week the Holy Spirit places something in your path and gives you the challenge to say, "Now let's see if you're going to do it." And he will empower you beyond yourself. And some of you, your testimony next week is going to be, "Pastor Marty, this is what happened, and it was so incredible, and it was all the Holy Spirit's leading." Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you continually, again and again and again. Now next week, look at me. Next week, we're going to just take some time and we're going to explore this space a little bit. And so we're going to give the Holy Spirit some time to move. And we're going to give him some time to speak. And we're going to give him some time to move upon you to speak to somebody else in the congregation who needs a touch from God. And it may be a little different for you, but the Holy Spirit is not someone to be feared. The Holy Spirit is a life-giving presence who glorifies Jesus Christ in us. So I hope that doesn't chase you off, but I'm giving you a little forewarning. I hope you come next week expecting to see what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Amen? 25 of you will be here. God bless you guys. I'll see you next week. If I've never met you, I'd love to meet you down front. Or if you'd like someone to pray for you, we can pray for you as well.